Good afternoon, Rich Nass, Executive Vice President with Open Systems Media and leader of the Embedded Computing Design franchise, here for this week's Embedded Executive Podcast. This week, we have a repeat guest, and I don't know, maybe this is going to be a series. It seems to be pretty popular. I have Marcus Webster of Webster Associates. How are you doing, Marcus?
I'm doing great. Rich, good to be with you again.
Thank you. So this is not about engineering, but it's for engineers for sure. And we're going to talk about what people need to know, one of the steps of getting a job. And I know it really well that engineers can't write. And I get stuff from them all the time, you know, articles and blogs and things. And it's like, man, you know, I guess you went to engineering school and they didn't teach you, you know, English composition. I actually had one semester of English composition in my engineering career. But I do write for a living, and I think I'm pretty good at it. But you probably see this all the time. Some of the things, you know, like cover letters, resumes, things like that. Do you see those and you're like, oh man, you need to have somebody else read this?
Oh yeah, it's bad. It's bad. That's why I had to say something about it, because like you, I had one humanities class in engineering school. So I know exactly what you mean. But it was a really good class. But the engineers, first of all, they treat the resume like they're writing code, and in terms of that, they don't see it as marketing material. Okay. And that's what it is. And once I explained to them, it's like you treat applying for a job like you would applying for college. Okay. So when you apply to college, they don't just ask for your transcript and your test scores. They want to know, they want an essay. They want to know about you and what you're doing. And that's why typically when engineers or anybody interviews, the first interview is typically a cultural interview, because they want to know who you are and what you can do. And what engineers, they write out these resumes, and they don't spell things correctly.
Oh, that's bad.
Yes. You know, especially when you're an engineer, it's supposed to be detail oriented. But I get resumes from engineers who spell their own company name wrong. And I was like,
I was going to say, because we know that they're engineers and they're not joining these companies to write articles. And right. And also the people who are reading the resumes are probably engineers themselves too. So is it accepted, or you're saying that it's not?
Well, it depends on the person. But if you get an engineer who's like, you know, they left a comma out, we're moving on to the next person. You know, a company like Google can afford to do that, because like they can just be really picky and just like move on to the next person. Not everybody can do that. But if you get the wrong person in front and that has your resume and you have a misspelled word or the grammar is incorrect, they'll move on to the next person, because they'll make these assumptions about you that, you know, may or may not be true.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, because you might be bypassing a phenomenal engineer because he doesn't know how to write a good resume, or frankly doesn't care, because he thinks that it's not important.
Right. And a lot of the small things that engineers don't think are important are more important, because our goal is to get the resume in front of a human, you know what I mean, not go through an ATS, you know. Mm-hmm. So real people evaluate resumes based on the psychology behind whatever they think and feel about that particular person. If you have the wrong thing on there, like one thing I tell people is to either do a customized objective or don't do an objective at all. Because if you have an objective that doesn't match their objective, they're going to move on. You won't even get a chance, you know. So it's better not to have one, or have a specific objective for each job, so you don't end up getting thrown away or cast aside just because they feel like, well, they won't want to do this job. Move on to the next person.
So can I just run this thing through ChatGPT and say, yeah, it's probably good enough?
No, because the ChatGPT can do a lot of good things, but it doesn't still understand the context and the psychology behind those kind of things. Like, you know, like I get somebody who's an Eagle Scout, and they may or may not put on their resume. Okay. But anybody who knows anything about what it takes to become an Eagle Scout, that puts them in a different category from other engineering candidates, because they know they have the discipline, you know, they've done things, they're well-rounded, you know what I mean? So it adds a whole other dimension by adding two words to your resume.
Okay. I assume contacting you is a great starting point, but What else should people do?
One thing, like I said, treat the resume like marketing material. Treat it more, look, in Europe, they do CVs as opposed to resumes.
Right.
And gives you a better picture of who the person is. So treat it more like a CV. One thing too, is like, I tell people, don't believe the one page resume lie. Because a lot of career centers and outplacements will say, you know, they need it concise, you know. But when you try to cram all that into one page, you leave a lot out about yourself and no one gets to see who you really are. So, and also there's no way to differentiate yourself. If you're competing head to head with another engineer, and I tell other engineers, go on LinkedIn, see what other engineers are writing about themselves. And what you'll find, they all say, I wrote this, I coded this, I improved this. So what makes you different? Okay. You have to have those things in there to make you stand out of the crowd and not just be another resume that they may or may not move on to.
You know, and full disclosure, I hired somebody about a year ago and we got tons and tons of resumes and I didn't have time to really go through them in detail. And it's a quick glance. So I get what you're saying, that sometimes you got to make something stand out.
You're right. Exactly. You have to. And the way the algorithm works too, is it's sort of like everybody knows looking for keywords, but a lot of times an engineer will put their skill once. This is the efficiency part, because they think it's efficient to do that. Put the skill once, then they talk about the job, but they never mention the skill again. But the way the algorithm works is that it looks for keywords, okay? Then it looks for clusters of keywords, meaning like if they're, you know, bunched in there together, but mm-hmm. it also the number of keywords. So if somebody is, let's say Python, plan for a Python job, if the other candidate mentions Python five times and they mention Python one time, they're going to be the higher score. So they'll be the pushed to the top of the list just by the mere volume of times they mention that skill.
That's really interesting. Are there free online services that people should look for to help them with a resume?
I haven't really found any good ones, because a lot of people, we get resumes from people who pay to have them done professionally.
Right.
I'm not trying to slant people who write professional resumes, but I find the best ones are written by the person themselves. And I was like, it's like, give me the resume you gave them and let me go through that, you know? And then we work with them. So we review, part of our process is we review the resume, but we coach them through the process. But our goal mm-hmm. is to get them a hire manager. So when a candidate goes through West, they don't typically go through an ATS, you know, at all. We send them direct to the hiring manager. So we coach them through the whole process. We get them in front of candidates and we're able to speak their language. And we bring up stuff in the interview in our pre-screen that they may not have thought was important, but you know, that's important. Like we placed someone recently and the guy was a NCAA swimmer. He didn't have one on his resume because he had one of those one page resumes, you know? So I had to talk. I was like, hey, you need to mention this. You know what I mean? And the hiring manager's like, hey, this guy's great. You know, he swam competitively, mm-hmm. you know, he's a great engineer, you know, it put him at the top of the heap.
Interesting. So, I mean, to be fair to people, you charge for this service. So how would somebody know if they need your help or not, or if what they have is good enough?
Okay, well, first of all, there's no fee to the candidate. Our fees are paid by our clients.
Oh, okay. So, well, then I take it back.
Yeah. So we work, as you know, in the embedded space, you know. So anyone that's in our space that we can feel that we can get them they have the right skill set. Because like I said in the previous podcast, it's all about having the right set of skills, you know, because mm-hmm. each one of our clients has different needs. You know, some may, you know, need more hardware, more software, more OS, more BIOS, you know, or more firmware. But we find those opportunities for those clients. And actually last year, a lot of our candidates that we placed were with companies who didn't even have an opening. We found that a company that needed their skills. Because I always tell people, people don't hire resumes, people hire people. So if you have the right skill set, they would be, you know, opportunistic and, you know, and pick them up because they know they need those skills. And even if you have the budget for it, they'll create budget for it.
Very good. Well, thanks, Marcus. It's very enlightening, and hopefully people find this really helpful. So, and hopefully this will be number two in a series.
That'd be great. That'd be great. So, you know, they can reach me at marcus@websterandwebster.com. You can find us on social media, LinkedIn and Twitter/X or whatever it's now. But we're easy to find, easy to work with. And we, you know, we love this space. And the main thing is that we speak their language. They don't have to explain to us what, you know, in great detail what they do. We understand.
And that's Marcus with a C, not with a K.
Yes, Marcus with a C.
Very good. So you heard it. That was Marcus Webster, Webster Associates, and I'm Rich Nass with Open Systems Media. Thanks, Marcus.
You're welcome. Thank you. Look forward to the next time.